B-Pod Studios.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if you
smelled it. You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
You find the glory.
Our finest gifts we bring.
What's the story behind this?
I've told you this story before. I think we talked about it a year ago.
Just one take.
It was like a couple of takes. They'd bang this thing out, no problem.
Yep.
But David Bowie didn't like the song. He thought it was kind of too simple. So they
rumpa-pum, he did his own little thing right
there. They wrote this during like the lunch break, this part.
It works.
Oh, it
works. Why can't Paul McCartney do something like this?
I believe it was David Bowie's mom who liked Bing Crosby, and that's why he went and did it with him.
Oh.
I think that was part of the story. It was like, okay, all right, I'll go do it. And then Bing Crosby died before the special ever aired.
I remember that.
He died right after they had done it. It was like the last thing he did.
All this, I think they wrote for the special, this part that we're hearing right here.
It's a Dan Shaughnessy one right here. This is like, yeah. Dan would sit there in front of the tube and watch the Bing Crosby Christmas special.
Have you seen Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly do their version of this?
No.
It's just, they pretty much just do it verbatim how it's done in the original.
I bet John C. Reilly does Bowie. And Will Ferrell, really?
No, John C. Reilly is Bing.
Okay.
Here it is. I confirmed the mom. 2014 on a PBS interview, the writers of Bing Crosby's Merry Old Christmas discussed the circumstances behind the collaboration. The pitch was to have the pair duet on Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, my God.
But Bowie flat out at first refused. He said, I won't sing that song. I hate that song. I'm doing this show because my mother loves Bing Crosby. That's what he told him, flat out. I'm only here because my mom loves Bing Crosby.
Wow.
He eventually did it, and it worked.
I remember watching this with my grandparents, and there was another special, the Bob Hope All-American special. I think it was the Playboy All-American, where he would announce the team, and each guy would individually run out in his full uniform with his helmet under his thing, and like, Billy Sims, Oklahoma. Like, wow, this is awesome. You can't do this to me.
I'm showing him Will Ferrell as Bowie and John C. Reilly as Bing. And they
Where'd you find this?
I think maybe they make one or two jokes like off the original script, but it's pretty much just them doing the whole thing.
So T-Bone right now is feverishly pulling this up. So this is from Saturday Night Live?
No, this was a Funny or Die thing.
Okay. That looks pretty damn funny.
75 minutes it took him to put it together.
That's unbelievable.
Hour and 15 minutes.
It works, man.
Done. Sure does. Oh, anyway. Bruins not playing this week. They didn't have to go to Canada. What a win for them. What a win. Do you think that part of that was that they didn't want to go? And I mean the players? Remember what I said last week?
Yeah,
I said, if I were the players, I would tell them I'm not going.
You said don't get on a damn plane.
Don't get on the flight. Tell them to F off. I wonder if it happened. I wonder if the players said to them, do what you want, we're not going. And the league said, okay, we'll cancel you through the 26th. We're not going to deal with that public, the optics of that.
But why would they say we're not going?
Are they sick?
Because the risk was, and a lot of players spoke about it, I think even on Tutcher and Rich, who's their guy?
Nick Foligno.
Nick Foligno, I think, talked about it. In that a lot of guys on the team, and others, the beat guys have reported this as well. They didn't want to go because they didn't want to get caught in Canada.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Shut us down when we get up there?
They were looking at the situation.
Christmas.
They're looking at all the players around them who have come down with COVID. They're looking at how it has gradually spread among the team. There is reason to believe it is the new variant that they have contracted there. And so they said, wait, I'm going to go to Canada and play a couple of games and then get caught there and put in a hotel room for 2 weeks?
Yeah, over Christmas.
Over Christmas?
Yeah.
Because we're in Canada? no, I'm not going. I'm not. We shouldn't be, have to be forced to do that.
Right.
And I think there was a lot of pushback. And I do wonder if the players at some point said to themselves and got together as a group and said, we're not getting on the flight. We're not showing up. This shouldn't happen. We're not getting caught up there for 2 weeks if we're, you know, we're catching it because we're coming to work. We're catching it because we're here and we're showing up every day and our teammates have contracted it. And I bet that they're looking at their teammates who are, we don't know, but there's no indication that they are sick. But with the number of guys who are vaccinated on that team, maybe they're not ill and they're looking at their players, their teammates saying, yeah, Marchand and Bergeron don't even have symptoms and they're stuck at home and they can't play. I'm not going to go to Canada and have that happen to me and get stuck in the hotel room. Sick or not, I'm not doing it.
Right. It makes no sense for them to do that.
Not dealing with that.
I think that's part of it. And the other part that maybe they don't want to say is, how many games are we going to have to play without Bergeron and Marchand?
And Hall.
And Hall, right.
And you got goalie issues. You got all kinds of stuff. Like, no. How about you guys figure out how we're going to be able to play the rest of this season? Maybe you stop testing us if we're vaccinated and asymptomatic, and you get this all figured out. And in the meantime, we're not going to drop a bunch more games playing with the Providence Bruins going up against clubs that have something closer to full strength.
Yeah. And so in the NFL over the weekend, they changed their rules. If you're fully vaccinated, you're not testing anymore without symptoms. No more testing. How do you get rid of COVID? Stop testing for it.
I just got the email.
It's like how to get rid of weed in the NBA. How do you stop having to suspend guys for marijuana in the NBA? Stop testing for marijuana in the NBA. So that is what they've done. They've said, nah, if you're fully vaxxed, we're not going to test you unless you come down with symptoms. And that is going to lead to fewer positives and more guys who are playing with COVID, maybe in most cases unknowingly. That's the route that they've chosen to take. Because in what other workplace, they're saying, is it required that you've got a test? I mean, no one is immune from dealing with COVID issues. And employers everywhere are dealing with it. They're not testing their employees. All right. That's how they're looking at it. And so now, with all of this, they've had to bump back some games this week. So the schedule in the NFL tonight, as Hardy mentioned in his headlines.
Doubleheader
starting at 5 o'clock.
Hell yeah.
What a week for football.
Oh, yeah.
Raiders-Browns at 5 o'clock.
Go football.
Vikings-Bears at 8:15. And then there's a doubleheader tomorrow night as well.
That's awesome. Plus Seahawks-Rams. Football.
Seahawks-Rams.
Great.
Wait. Seahawks-Rams.
Yeah.
Washington football team Eagles.
Ooh.
Wednesday they're going to take off. They're going to take off Wednesday, Friday this
Damn
week.
It.
They'll have Thursday night football. They'll have Saturday football again, and they will have Sunday football.
They got Saturday football on Christmas?
There's Saturday football this week.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that sucks for the visiting team. They got to travel on Christmas Eve, so they miss the double day. Ooh. Woof. Then we play, 1 o'clock Sunday? Yeah. Reese had a little nugget of the potential of that Miami game to get moved, too.
The Saturday games this week on Christmas Day are 4:30 Browns Packers and 8:15 Colts Cardinals.
Oh my.
Two games on Christmas.
Colts playing again in the primetime Saturday window, huh?
Yes.
Huh.
Against the Cardinals. That should be a decent game.
Go Cardinals. Yes, let's go.
Cardinals who have
rooting interest in those games.
Coming off that horrific loss to the Lions. And Browns, Packers.
Cardinals are frauds.
Tell you, you know who must not be happy about that is the NBA. They have owned Christmas for many, many years.
Well, not anymore.
Well, are those games going to happen?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know.
Mm.
There's an easy fix with the NHL, by the way.
Which is what?
Cancel
I don't know
season.
If you meant. Oh, don't go to the Olympics. And play those games in February.
That's not happening. I mean, all indications are that they're not going.
Yeah.
Who reported it last night?
I think it was LeBron.
Pierre LeBron.
And he basically said it was like obvious at this point.
That's great.
Judd said on the hockey show that there is a separate schedule that they came out with as a contingency in case that happened.
Well, you got to get your ducks in line.
I don't think they're going to the Olympics.
It'd be great. I'll have to watch them, man. That's the only thing really worth watching. Yeah, that ski jump thing, too. a long one where you need potential for disaster. You know, thrill, victory, agony, defeat. Just wiping out the whole.
You don't get a lot of crashes in that aim.
I know. That's pretty good.
You're too good.
You know what it does?
They got to make the course harder.
They groove it. It's like there's two grooves going down, and so you keep your skis in line.
Right.
And you go, and it keeps you right on line.
Right.
Put that thing flat. Let them, let someone catch an edge.
What about curling?
Interesting.
Yeah, it's good for like 10 minutes.
It's sort of faded. Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
After you see a couple guys just scrubbing the ice there.
Once I figured out what was happening, I was like addicted to it last time.
Well, it creates a friction on the ice, which that's where the stone's going to go.
Like how you get points.
Yeah, but you never played bocce ball or freaking horseshoes?
That's closest to the circle.
Or shuffleboard? Shuffleboard? It's like shuffleboard without a triangle.
I wish shuffleboard was an Olympic sport.
Old people.
No, not the one with the stick. I'm talking on the table.
Like shuffleboard. Oh, with the sawdust.
Yes. Mm. That kind of shuffleboard.
Do you know they sell? We talked about the bubble hockey game. So I went down there to get some Christmas stuff at my man down there at Seasonals.
Yeah, and they have the shuffleboards out.
They have the shuffleboard.
Aren't they nice?
They have the home shuffleboard one. So it's not like the long ones in the bars, but it's a toned down one, but it's the same one with the silver discs.
I believe Mike Flynn purchased a rather large shuffleboard for his basement.
I wonder how long he plays.
I talked about this with him years ago.
You're gonna need some kind of tile or hardwood wherever you're playing that.
Is that right?
Well, I mean,
rug would be fine.
It's a lot of sand. A lot of that sand. That sand gets everywhere.
Not really. Yeah, you know what? You are
the
right.
Shuffleboard.
Yeah, sand. No, you got to sprinkle the infield, man. Absolutely. Right. I
mean, there's a good one over
there. You want to have that on carpet in your basement?
No.
Barefoot bar at the vineyard.
But I mean, I do own a vacuum
sandbar.
So if it did get on a rug, you could vacuum.
Okay, well, by all means, bring a bunch of sand carpeted basement.
It's not like the end of the world.
Okay, it is the end of the world, and you don't want it on carpet.
My roommate said that to me. My last year, I'm the practical jokester, obviously on the team. So at Maryland, University of Maryland, they decided that somebody was sodding the quad out there. They brought in sod in my room, put a little sand trap in there with sand, and I opened my door, and there's a golf flag stuck right in the middle of my room.
That's actually a pretty good. Great prank.
Pretty good. Fully sodded.
I don't know what that has to do with shuffleboard
dust. I left the grass in there for like 3 days.
But
like, should I water this?
It was a dorm room?
Dorm room.
They sodding a dorm room and putting...
Fully sodded with a mini sand trap. And a golf stick they stole from the university course.
That takes some thought.
That's a lot of work.
Good prank.
I give him credit. Yep.
How'd you get it out of there?
After about 3 days, I said, get a couple freshmen, help me carry it out.
There you go.
Let's go. We're going to shave your heads if you don't. Yep.
Yeah. Back in the days when hazing was totally all right.
Hazing was cool.
Yep. You wanted to get hazed.
Yeah. You guys got to bring your dip cans. We're going to play skull.
It was a sign of respect that they wanted to haze you.
We're going to play skull relay races, and you can't use your hands.
More homoeroticism in hazing. Nope. Just an excuse to see other
bring
dudes
$20.
Naked.
Bring $20 with you.
Right. That's a lot of your hazing stories end the same way with you getting to watch men naked.
Yep.
Let's get to Sounds of Sunday at 12:50. Back on Patriots Colts next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Calls on anything.
Call us here for sports.
Sports calls next at 617-779-0985.
Select and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second down and 8. Wentz turns and gives. Taylor runs it through a big hole. He's gone. To the 50. Right side, 40. Chased by J.C. Jackson to the 20. Outside to the 10. Into the end zone. That's the ball game.
That sucks. And didn't play your best tonight. Colts have done everything to give you this game.
Take our quarterback over that quarterback any day, though.
Well, unfortunately, the Patriots did everything early to give the Colts the game, and it came down to that final series. before the 67-yard touchdown run by Jonathan Taylor, who has now rushed for a score in 11 consecutive games.
Baby, please come home.
Measuring the level of concern after a really bad loss by the Patriots on Saturday night. Is it more about them? Is it more about the Colts? It's hard to say that it was more about the Colts. I do appreciate the Colts being a good team, though. I think they're a good team. I've been saying it for months.
They're well coached. I like Frank. Mm-hmm. I like his staff. He put together a nice staff there. He doesn't overreact. He's not a hothead like Papa Smurf in Buffalo, who's coming in here this week, already talking about you. Yep. Can't even get past his post game against Carolina that he's salivating to get here, to get out-coached again. Frank's good, solid, meticulous. I thought he had a good plan. They double-stacked their tight ends. They got the counter working. They had the receivers trapping. Guys in the hole. It was a pretty damn good plan he had. And he didn't kill his team by letting Carson Wentz throw the ball more just because he makes a lot of money. He could care less. He's a good play caller, too. So, Colts are a good team. Good team. Ballard, like I said, Ballard's done a nice job there. And whatever you think about Chris Ballard, they're aggressive, they're fast on defense, and more importantly, they're big on offensive line. Jesus Christmas. I was down there on the field,
yeah,
and you see Quentin Nelson. Yeah, get all fired.
Hey, Quentin.
6'6", 330.
He's big, too.
But he's not like slouching. He's upright. Like, he's got a stick up him. Just arch, just like, wow, that dude's big. He's a big man. He's like Volmer. Remember when Volmer was big and Solder were at their biggest? Like those guys, but thicker. Just guy could just road grate people. He was creating leverage in the middle. You couldn't handle him. And that could be a problem coming in here in January.
They blocked well, man. They got a good line.
But I don't think their quarterback gets them over the hump in January. I'd like to see them again because I don't think we played well coming out of the gate for two quarters.
So you mentioned Frank Reich. Did you catch what he said at the podium when he started his press conference?
With the press conference? I did not. Yeah, I did not. I was at the other one. Yeah.
He did a press conference with the press.
I missed all his.
Here's what he said when he got up there when he looked at a reporter.
Give me $20.
That was not the Philly special.
Someone told me that you had a quote that you tweeted that if we scored on the Philly special.
Whoa. Who's?
I'm not kidding.
Who's the little one in the back laughing like that?
Some reporter in Indianapolis. But he goes
Indy
up.
Reese.
He
it's
goes
Reese.
Up there.
Indy Reese.
He goes up there and he says, "You owe me $20." He's like, "What do you mean?"
Didn't you, Bob? That when we put that in, I thought about you, and I said, "I'm telling Bob he owes me $20." This is a run. This is a version of the Philly special.
Is that right?
That's a version of it. So there you go.
I said it on the call after it. I said, "That's like what they got you with in the Super Bowl."
Boy, that just coming down glued in that room.
Is that Bob Kravitz?
Can't be.
He said Bob. It may have been Bob Kravitz.
Maybe. Maybe that's why that's how
it was.
Laughing.
It was Bob Kravitz. He had tweeted last week. I have it right here. If the Colts run the Philly special this week, I'll pay Frank Reich $20. So Bob
it had
Kravitz
the same action
out.
Of it. And Bob and I had no clue. Had the damn ball. It was good. They did a good job with it.
Yep. He sent that out at 11 p.m. on Thursday night. Bob Kravitz. And so that's him telling Bob, "Give me my $20." That first touchdown. That's a version of it. And so. I only bring this up for this reason. You got to wonder if Frank Reich.
Yeah.
Might spook the Patriots a little bit.
I think Frank's kind of got their number a little bit.
He does.
He understands what they want to do defensively in that, and they're pretty much the same all the time. Like, you get an understanding of what Bill wants to accomplish on defense. Off-topic question real quick here.
Yeah, okay.
Why do we need three engineers to fix one thing? Like, it's like Tweedledee, Tweedledum, and Tweedledee. Like
there's
one,
actually four people.
When they walk up the stairs, if one guy stops, the guy behind him runs into him.
It's a collaborative effort. Their team is strong when they're all together.
It's like when you go to Mr. Shirley's office, Hardy. Like, kiss his ass, kiss your ass, kiss my ass, kiss his ass. Yeah.
They all want to know what's going on at all aspects of broadcast.
Let's add up all their salaries and see if it matches those.
I got to travel with these freaks.
Nope.
And they all like... They go and get their coffees the same. Like, they walk together.
Yeah, it's, what's your problem?
I mean, just a little separation. Yeah. You know?
This building throws them enough problems.
Sure does. Wait till they start building the new studios.
Yeah, I think they're looking forward to it.
Charlie, we're talking about you, pal.
I think they're looking forward to it. Sean in Dorchester. Hi, Sean.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, you guys just touched on it. Yeah, I guess my concern would be more of a big picture thing. And I know the block punt was a huge game changer for the Colts, and it was in Indianapolis.
That was the game. Once you figured stuff out in the second half, that was the difference in the damn game. Because all you need is one more score, and you got it tied or you're winning, you know?
Absolutely, but I just, you know, you guys just said it. Maybe Reich just, is he like Tom Coughlin, just kind of has Belichick's number. He knows how to play him. He knows, you know, where their weaknesses are, how to attack them, and he's not afraid of them. I mean, I think that's half the battle is not being afraid of them, and he knows he's beat them in a Super Bowl before, and what says he can't do it again in the playoffs?
Well, and then the situations came up during the game, like that 4th-and-1. I'm like, they're going to go for it. They got a 14-point lead. It's right if you got nothing to lose. You know what I mean? You're the team chasing him. It's in your building, the place is rocking, you go for it. He adjusts to the game tempo. That's what Frank does well. Like, some coaches panic in this league. Okay, we're up 14-0 on the Patriots, but you know what we need to do? We need to get our quarterback in the gun. We need to go spread. We need to chuck it a little bit. Then you have a couple 3-and-outs, or maybe you get a pick. You know what he did? He sat on the freaking lead, and he looked at the clock, and he tried to bleed it. You mentioned that 8-minute drive in the second quarter. Killer. You're already 14-0 at that point. You know, you let New England make mistakes. You know, New England panicked. They looked like they weren't ready to go early in that game. They, you know, they had guys guessing in the front defensively. You made Mac Jones uneasy because you got through the offensive line early in this game. You hit him. You shut down the run. You controlled the tempo of that game. Frank Reich did that. He did a good job at it. That's a couple times he's done that against you. So credit to him. Other coaches would panic and just go, we do, you know. You don't care. Carson, 5-13, 5-20, whatever the hell he was. They won. You know, they're in a playoff race.
Yeah, I mean, his one other matchup that he had with the Patriots was 2018, right?
Yeah.
And that was a Thursday night game here. Scored 24 points on the road here. They weren't a good team that year.
No.
They went on a good run at the end, which he got a lot of credit for, but they didn't have a ton of talent. Would you say the Colts roster is more or less talented than the Patriots roster?
That's a good question. They're similar. I mean, you got Buckner and Darius Leonard and Moore and those guys on defense. And running back, Taylor. Got good receivers.
Okay, who's the
tight end?
Do it this way. Who's their best defensive player?
Darius Leonard.
Would you trade your best defensive player for him?
Judon? No.
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 Who's
their second best? Buckner, up front. Beast.
Would you trade J.C. Jackson for him?
Maybe.
I don't know that I would.
Like, that's a guy you can't single block him.
Which quarterback is better?
Oh, ours.
Which running back, you're going to lose that one.
Receivers, you lose.
You lose receivers, too.
Tight end, wash. Jack Doyle's pretty good.
Yeah. I would say the
offensive line
difference.
They're better.
Yeah, they're a better offensive line.
Their defensive line may be better. They're better. Yeah.
I'd say that's a wash.
Yeah, it's a wash.
I'm not willing to say that.
That's not fair to our defensive line because they played well here.
I mean, outside of the fact that they have better receivers and a better running back situation. And by the way, at running back, the Patriots are pretty good on their own. So it's not like it's terrible. The one clear advantage that the Colts have over the Patriots is their receivers. And they have a crappy quarterback who can't get the ball to them anyway.
That's the killer. Roster killer for them.
So I look at this game and say, this wasn't because you were unmatched. You couldn't match the
you
talent.
You weren't ready to go.
That wasn't it.
You weren't ready to go.
That wasn't at all the situation. Hardy has our headline. Sounds of Sunday coming up at 12:50. Go nowhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right. But it's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is so bad. Do we have to do this now?
Get to the choir.
Do we have to do this now?
Well, our guy Ben on Twitter said he missed it Friday and wanted to know if we could play
it. Did you play it Friday?
Yeah.
You know the song, right?
Yeah.
They didn't.
It's like sad and awful.
I never heard it. It's not sad.
Well, it's sort of. It's pretty damn sad.
Not really.
It doesn't really put you in the mood.
I was going to meet Jesus.
For like having a good time.
But I mean, if you're going to meet Jesus, think about the type of shoes you'd get.
You know, there's a music video for it that I saw over the weekend.
Oh, that I have not seen.
It is the most low-rent, low-budget produced thing, and the kid they have playing, the kid trying to buy the shoes for his dying mother. Like, he's a kid, you know, he's coming into his own, but he has...
Was he really coming into his own?
He's kind of got the Robbie from Poltergeist teeth going on, where just only the two front buck teeth have grown in so far. It's hideous from top to bottom.
It's like one of the kids from Polar Express, just weird looking, like, yeah.
If I sing the wrong words this, can we end this? Do like a Zo?
No, just I always sing it. The right words.
Turn it off, T-Bone.
See, I like the musical rendition, so you can sing. Go ahead.
I don't know the words. Know these shoes make
Wanna wear these shoes for Jesus. I say get the Birkenstocks. He'd appreciate
it. Thank you. Here's Bill Belichick this morning on T.Y. Hilton and ejections in the game.
What's the reaction when you start seeing tempers boil over like that and ultimately leading to an ejection of a player like that?
We've talked about those situations. We talk about them every year. We talk about them multiple times over the course of the year. I see what happened. Not sure how anybody else will see it. So it doesn't really matter what I think anyway, but we'll go through it. Based on the rule, you know, I don't see why T.Y. Hilton wasn't ejected.
Oh,
I mean, he pushed an official, but that was pretty clear.
Pretty clear, Beetle.
But that wasn't called at all. I mean, that's a clear-cut ejection to me.
You cry, baby.
But the Duggar play, you know, Pittman comes from behind, Kyle turns around, there's an exchange, and, you know, Pittman's helmet was off. I mean, he was trying to put his helmet on.
Why was it off?
As he approached Kyle at the end of the play. So it came out pretty quickly. I don't know, you know, whether Kyle knocked it off or would it come off anyway or whatever. But, you know, bottom line is both players got ejected.
He goes on to say, I understand why I may not necessarily agree with it, but I understand why both were ejected.
So there's only one angle of T.Y. Hilton putting his hand on the ref's chest, right?
He's got end zone copy then by that statement. Like, he went back
once.
Oh, God, Jimmy D rolls on that. They roll on.
When I saw it, I thought he was maybe getting his leg grabbed and he was, like, falling to his right.
Nope, been there. I've been there and been in these meetings where you get the end zone and they are instructed to zoom in and film the whole thing so you can know who's getting their ass.
Let me ask you a question. What's T.Y. Hilton's reputation around the league?
I mean, he's older, he's been injured, but pretty good receiver there.
Pretty well-liked guy, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's got a reputation as not being an a-hole.
No.
Or a diva.
No, he's not a
or
diva.
Or a jerk.
No, he's not AB. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you
think what you're saying.
Do you think maybe that played into it a little bit?
No, I just think they missed it.
Maybe T.Y. Hilton didn't realize it was a ref.
Oh,
maybe
that, yeah,
T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
And the ref's like, well, T.Y. Hilton would not have done that had he... You know, maybe there was just a little leeway granted to T.Y. Hilton in that situation because his reputation is that he's a good guy.
The natural thing when these melees happen is you need a couple good dudes from each team to get in there and start separating guys. Meaning, you know, you're grabbing guys off the pile, trying to get them out of there. And maybe the ref was in there trying to separate and he grabbed him and moved him. But I did see the ref go flying and the hand extended, but I couldn't see who the guy was because we didn't get a good replay.
So I think the follow-up there, and I don't know if someone asked this morning or not, is... Did you think that Pittman was an obvious ejection? Because I didn't think it was obvious. I'm glad they just throw them both out. Get lost. You know, I think that
Pittman wouldn't let it. You didn't see like the stuff like Pittman wouldn't let it go. And
I get I don't think Pittman was an obvious ejection.
Well, I think if they were been telling him the entire, this was going on a lot during a game with him and Duggar. and it was extracurricular after the whistle. And Pittman would be stalking him and kept pushing the helmet, pushing the helmet, pushing the helmet.
Okay.
That's stuff you didn't see.
Well, Kyle Duggar ripped his helmet off, put his forearm on his throat when he was on the ground, and also he did swing, even though it wasn't a closed fist. He did swing at him. It's like three things you can't do that Duggar had to go. I'd ask Bill another question. Bill, was Kyle Van Noy an obvious one? You crybaby? I thought this is bad today, hearing this part of it, because the Patriots were a puddle this weekend in Indianapolis and mentally didn't show up to play. And mentally, they're still crying about things 2 days later. It's a bad sign.
And apologizing.
It's a bad sign. Get your crap together. Crying about a lack of an ejection about a guy who's pretty much regarded around the league as being a good guy, who may have mistaken the ref for another player.
I like that.
And the refs knew who pushed him down. Wasn't like the official didn't know who it was. Like, come on.
Duggar's a badass.
Get over it.
I love Duggar. He's a badass.
You're focusing on that crap after the fact. You went back and pulled up the all 22 of T.Y. Hilton and the ref.
Yep.
That's sad. You got a lot of other tape you should be more focused on 2 days later after this game.
I like the delay by him too, though, when he's asked the question. He's
come
like,
on.
Well, the Duggar play. Okay.
Don't be that team.
Should I go into it with the T.Y. Hilton stuff? I'm going to do it.
That's something I'd expect out of the Colts over the years. A crybaby team. Bill Polian. Marvin Harrison, all the guys on those teams crying about the Patriots. Oh, they're,
the guy
too physical.
The guy did throw a ref, and two guys got ejected that didn't touch a ref. I mean, that's... He's like, eject those two. Eject him, too. Yeah. So,
who's texting now?
Oh, I don't know.
Who is it?
It's my good buddy.
What'd he say?
Hmm?
This is what's the point?
Nothing.
What'd he say? Your good buddy. That's something I expect Tony Dungy to do. Complaining about those mean Patriots. Oh, stop it.
Harbaugh.
Right. Harbaugh. One of the whiny coaches would do that. Let's not watch the Patriots become that team. Don't be those guys. Let's go to Brian in New Hampshire. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. So before, I have a question about Jake in Boston. I was listening to him earlier, and I've listened to a lot. But before I get to that, the game Saturday night, first half, oh, geez, is terrible. Visiting my grandmother in Holyoke, and she's like, oh, God, this is terrible.
What'd she say?
Anyways.
She agree? She agree with that assessment?
Oh, yeah. Oh, everyone was texting me, family. I'm like, grandma. I know. Anyways, I was talking to my cousin, and we're both like, you know what? We want Bill to let Mac lose the game. But let him try and win it. And if he loses it, it's good for a rookie. Let him try and win on his own. And if he loses, so what? It's good for a rookie to get that feeling, which I feel like in the second half, we kind of got that, right? I mean, Mac played great, played bad. But to me, the win was Mac got to have that rookie experience, if that makes any sense. And then back to Jake in Boston.
He wears dark sunglasses and asked us to blur out his face.
That is correct. Sounds of Sunday are coming up next. And also something special to tell you about that's going to be happening at 1:20.
Ooh.
All that's on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub presents Zolak and Bertrand's Sounds of Sunday.
Can you play the sounds from Sunday's games?
Yes.
My mama loves the Zolak and Beetle Show. Can you hurry, please? Daddy says there's not much time. See, she's been sick for quite a while, and I know the sounds will make her smile. And
uh-oh.
I want her to be laughing when she meets Jesus 10 minutes from now.
Oh, my God.
I love you, Mama.
Oh, God.
It's time to go on home.
Go on home. Yours is actually better than hers.
Oh, so this was a setup. This was a bit you guys were doing.
No, I had no clue. All right. I had no clue. I told T-Bone before the last break.
I didn't know.
Play the shoe
song. It's one thing to say, like, oh, yeah, cue that one up at the party, you know, the Christmas party. Get everyone excited about Christmas with that one.
You went ahead
and mocked it.
I had another one.
That I
sent to T-Bone last night, and he indicated to me that maybe it's not the best idea.
It was so bad that you shouldn't put it on the air?
It's one that we've done before.
I don't remember that.
But, you know, times change. People become more sensitive to different things. And it wasn't a take on Baby It's Cold Outside. It was another Christmas Sounds of Sunday song that we had done years ago. And T-Bone and I thought better of it. So I made a brand new one last night. Because we weren't sure about playing the old one.
Now I'm curious as to what the hell the old one was.
Should we just play the beginning of it, T-Bone?
Play the beginning.
See if we can jog our memory with
Turn
it.
Turn me up.
Get in the car.
Turn me up.
Play the beginning of it.
I've got it. Well, I got to turn myself up. I got to turn myself up, too. Ding. Hold on a second. For all I know, there's... All right, here it is.
98.5 El Centro Deportivo presenta Sonidos de Zolak y Bertrand del Domingo.
Sonidos del Domingo. Sonidos del Domingo. Sonidos del Domingo. And 98.5 El Centro Deportivo.
Some people don't like, you know, non-Spanish speakers speaking Spanish anymore. You know, there's... All kinds of different.
That's a rule now, too?
Oh, yeah.
Everything is now.
You don't know anymore, so we decided not to go with this one.
It was like the,
I've just been dumping this whole
thing. remember when Corona first came out, we did the Corona song? We had to, like, not play that anymore.
Well, I think that was the right call.
But we didn't know that at that. We didn't know that.
Which song?
No, there were many.
I didn't know if you were talking about the coronavirus one or the other one, the Baby It's Cold Outside.
Well, that one was really good.
Well, I'm going to tell you, there are things that are locked away in our vault that'll never make it out.
That we can't play here anymore. Everybody gets all upset.
The coronavirus song?
Nope, not that one.
That was fun in the beginning.
It was fun because we didn't know what it was.
There were multiple.
Not fun once you get it. Not fun once you get it.
That was a medley.
I think we had some listener submissions on that.
Yeah, we did.
We were doing like a rotation of songs.
We didn't know.
But
and Calvin went nuts. Remember that?
Yeah. Sounds of Sunday Christmas Shoes song was a winner. I'm glad we did it. And now, Mama's only got a few minutes left, so we should get rolling on this.
Put it in
the
pocket. Oh, my God.
By the way, we have something special coming up at 1:20. We are going to debut a new Christmas song on this very show.
Oh. Listener Carol,
1:20. We'll do it.
Brand new Listener Carol, 1:20 today. Start with Titans Radio. The confusion. That fourth down stand by the Steelers at the end of the game.
Tannehill dropping, looking, firing. Ball is caught. Westbrook Akina is taken down short of the line to gain as he is tackled just inside the 10. The Titans, I think, may have gotten it. Wait a minute. Let's see. He was tackled at the 10. The Titans got on the ball. He did not appear to get there, and they may be buzzing from upstairs saying he did not make it.
Here comes the chains. We're going to find out really, really quick.
Timeout for an official measurement.
They stretched the chains. He might have gotten it by an inch.
Oh, God.
First down.
Oh, my goodness. He may have. No, it's Steeler ball. Damn it.
Damn it.
First of all, if those guys had four eyes between the two of them, how they missed how bad the spot was.
Well,
I tweeted yesterday that spot is an embarrassment to the league.
It is.
Bad.
It is.
Real bad.
And then the worst part is they let it stand, then they measured it. And it looked to me initially, Titans got it. And they're going to get, Steelers are going to get screwed. But the fact it was underneath, Steelers didn't have timeouts. You still, thank God that was it. Because it went to review and they could tell, okay, he's short of the 10. Because they put that thing inside the 10. He didn't get to the 10.
Not even close.
No, not even close. No. Now, to their defense, they're down at the other 20, calling that. So that's Tennessee going the other way from the call. But you got to look at the monitor a little bit. Right. Use it to help you out. I do.
I don't know if you guys were watching the Bengals game, the play where both teams fumbled. Dave Lapham just rode the wave of emotions during this game.
Oh, boy.
Faked the handoff and ran. Oh, the ball's taken away. Oh, Khalid Kareem ripped it out of his hands. Khalid Kareem running downfield to the 30, the 35. The ball gets knocked out of his hands. Denver recovers at the 42-yard line.
Unbelievable.
It was a great play to get the ball initially.
Yeah.
Just stay down. Just stay down. He was down, and they ended up ruling him down by contact at the spot of the
Was it a first guy to get the ball?
The first fumble. Yeah.
Or a guy with hands.
He got up and started running. And
I'm sorry. They can't help it. When a fat guy gets the ball, you got to run, man. And I don't blame him. It's like when Vince would get those picks. He takes off, you know? But
Lapham also had a very good description of how the game ended.
Final play of the game. Locke throws it deep downfield, throws it out of bounds. 4 seconds on the clock. The Bengals will take over on downs, and they are going to win the game here in Denver. That is Coffin Nails.
Bam, bam, bam. And I'll tell you what, it took the entire football game. This was a slobber knocker now. This was a defensive battle.
Slobber knocker. It's the man that eats with no utensils. I told you that. Eats with his hands.
I don't even say that. Might mean something else.
Slobber knocker.
I don't know. Is that a word you can still say in 2021, right?
I'm not sure.
We're always reassessing, as you've talked about, Artie. Always reassessing. Maybe that's not one you can say anymore. He said it was a defensive battle. No. I would second guess some of the Cincinnati offense in that game.
I've not seen Cincinnati play this year. Like, they're always up. I haven't seen the Thursday game. They haven't been on Monday night yet. They're always up against us, or they're playing at a different time, or we're traveling. I haven't seen them play. I want to see Burrow play.
You know? Let's do one more, and then we'll get to the Pats radio stuff on the other side. This was Cardinals radio. Kept things in check during a garbage time touchdown at the end of their loss to the Lions.
Throws deep middle, got a man in the end zone. It's caught for a touchdown by Christian Kirk. There it is. The Cardinals finally get a touchdown pass. Too little, too late. It'll be a 2-touchdown game with 4:40 to go, but at least maybe that's something to build on here going forward.
Well, there it was. They came after Kyler Murray right there. They brought 6. Kyler did a great job reading the blitz, making them pay.
Cardinals, that is something to build on because, look, you're going to get beat by the Lions, right? You just want to have a couple of good plays. So good for them identifying as a play that you can build on after what was everyone expected you to look. No. There's nothing to build on for this
build
game.
On build on in
you
that
build
game.
A garbage touchdown with that team that's the number one seed right now? You don't build off that.
Is that the most muted you've ever heard them?
No, because you know what's going through their head. We're not traveling with the team anymore. I need to stay in Detroit for another night and catch the first flight back to Arizona. That's the voice of defeat right there and what you have to look forward to the next 36 hours.
We'll step aside. We'll do the headlines. We'll take care of the Pats radio sounds of Sunday calls in a minute.
All right. We'll be right back and do that. Don't forget 120. The 2021 Zolak and Bertrand Listener Christmas Carol.
Woo!
As produced by Rob Poole. Get to it next.
Oh. Jump off.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.